Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor Victor. Today we'll be talking about community, not just in any aspect of community, but one aspect in particular, belonging. Do you have a sense of belonging in a community, in a body of Christ, in a living organism? It's important to you because Jesus declares to you and me, He instructs you and me to have the fullness of His life come alive in the context of a community. Sadly, so many people, including many Christians, they believe that they can have a relationship, they can believe in God and love Jesus apart from, outside of, in the context of a local community. It's like saying, I want to be spiritual, but without any form of belonging. Well, it's really sad because that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. So many people who think that way is one of two reasons. One is they're Bible illiterate. It's their understanding. It's their idea. It's not what Jesus is saying in the Bible. And secondly, they may believe in the Bible, but they're quite immature because what they're saying is, I want to have this connectedness with the divine without having this horizontal relationship. It's immature because one is only thinking about himself or herself. When you come to Christ, when the Holy Spirit takes hold of you, and when the grace of Christ is working out its beauty and glory in and through you, what happens is not only do you glorify God, you edify the body of Christ. So allow me to take you to the letter of the 1 Peter. But before I do that, since I feel so convicted that my job is to not only give you fish, but more importantly, teach you how to fish, I think you get what I'm talking about. So I want to just share with you a couple of things that you want to have in your tool belt as you come to the Bible. Because Bible, many people find Bible to be intimidating and archaic. They don't know how to make sense out of it. So first, remember this. Before you can find out the meaning of the Bible for you today, you first have to find out what it meant to the first audience. Let me repeat that. Before you can understand the meaning and apply its meaning for you today, you must find out what it meant and how the people applied that meaning 2,000 years ago, I mean, by the first recipient of the Bible. Okay, so let me help you with this. The first letter by Peter, so we often say 1 Peter or 1 Peter, it's a letter that the Apostle Paul, he was the author, one of the 12 disciples of Christ. Peter wrote this letter to the church. When I say church, that's with the capital C, because this letter was distributed to all the churches in the Asia Minor. All the churches that called on the name of Jesus Christ received this letter and it was circulated. Now, What was going on in the hearts and the minds in the life of the first audience, the recipients of the letter? The occasion was this. The early Christians, they came to Christ and they were worshiping Jesus, but then a persecution broke out. And after that, people were scattered. They were sent out. They were expelled. Because of the persecution, they were fleeing from the hardship and the trials. So many of them left Jerusalem and they went all over. In fact, if you read the first letter in 1 Peter, it says they were scattered throughout all Asia Minor, today modern day Turkey region. Okay? So they were fleeing, experiencing hardship. And it is to these people Peter wrote these words. And it's so relevant to us because we feel in many aspects, we feel that we are facing hardship. We may not be facing persecution, but we are facing many, many challenges. And as these people felt, many of you are facing isolated, marginalized, because you are not with the people that you love and care about. That's exactly how they felt. So let's find out the power of community. All right? So let's go there. So hear the word of the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Christ, and by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit living within each and every one of us, but more importantly, collectively, the Holy Spirit living in the body of Christ, the church, we pray that we may sense and experience the awe and the wonder of your holy community into which you have called us. Now use me, a sinner saved by your grace, a sinner who desperately needs Jesus Christ more than anyone else. Be with my friends and guests who are joining us via online. May they find this worthy occasion of glorifying you and thanking you and praising you for. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So friends, I believe with all my heart what Jesus wants us to know, hear, see, and feel, and do is it, the theme and the goal is this. Please write these as you download the sermon outline. The life of Christ is rising up within you through community. Write the word community. The life of Christ is rising up in you through the gift of community. Please note, you're not hearing anyone say, you make sure, you see to it happen, that the life of Christ is rising up within you. No. It's a gift. Jesus is giving you his life. And his life is bubbling up, springing up, welling up within you through community. So community is the vehicle by which you receive this gift. Community is the appropriation through which you are working out the implementation and the application of the life of Christ rising up within you. And today, we will be addressing the value of community, and it means to belong with Jesus. Please write that word, to belong with Jesus. Friends, Jesus does not want you to only believe in him intellectually. He wants you to belong with him experientially. Very, very important. He wants you to do more. He wants to give you more than just believing, faith, intellectually. He wants you to experience, embrace, and live out the gift of the sense of belonging with Jesus. So in the past 2 weeks, we addressed the following values. These are disciples' values. Anyone who calls himself or herself a disciple follower of Christ, he, she will embrace these values. The value of Scripture, to know Jesus. The value of prayer, to meet Jesus. The value of generosity, to show Jesus. Show Jesus to others with your time, talent, and treasure. And today, it's the value of community, to belong with Jesus. So I want to parse out 3 points out of the text, the passage. And I'll be using a southern dialect, if you will. So here's the first, second, and third. First, y'all belong together because y'all have the same identity. Now, it's important for you to recognize why I am using this southern slang. In the southern part of the U.S., they say you, the first personal pronoun, the second personal pronoun, singular, you, and you all, which we are going to use in the form of y'all. Okay, so it's the southern dialect. It's very important because it's you all, meaning second person plural. You and I, most often, we don't distinguish between you singular and you plural. We just let the context of what we're saying determine that for the hearers and the listener. But it's so important that we get this y'all doctrine. Can you say that with me? Say it with a twang at the end. Y'all. Okay, so here. First, y'all belong together because y'all have the same identity. Second, y'all belong together because you have the same destiny. And third point, you all belong together because y'all have the same security. So let's get to the first one. You have the same destiny, and that's why you belong together. You all belong together. Let me take you to verse 4. As you all come to him, that's Christ, and what is Christ described here as? The living stone. He is the living stone. He is the stone. But he's alive, he's living. And because he's alive and he's living, he gives life to other stones. So as you come to him, as you draw near to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Now verse 5, listen, you all also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Interesting. Jesus is calling you and me what? Like him, the living stone, we are like living stones. Now, I haven't heard too many sermons about living stones, but here's one, 1 Peter, and this is so important. So we are what? Like living stones. We are stones because we're like the living stone. We are also living because the living stone who has life, who is giving life, has given life to us, and thereby we have become living stones. But here's the last one. What's happening to us? The living stones, we are being built into a spiritual house. Please note the passive voice. We're not building a spiritual house. We are being built into a spiritual house. The action is being done to us, and we are receiving the action, hence the passive voice. And this is very important. Now, do you sense any reference from what Jesus did or said in the Gospels? Ah, yes, you do. Let me take you to John chapter 2. So Jesus claimed that he is God, he's divine, and he is doing all kinds of miraculous things and teaching great things. In addition to that, he went into the temple of God, the spiritual house, and he claimed the house. He kicked out everyone because they were selling things in the temple of the Lord. So he was really, really, really upset by what was going on. And then the Jews come back and they object by saying this. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Ah, there you go. We have the same identity because Jesus is the living stone, and he's referencing himself to the place in the book of John where he claims to be the temple of God. He says, "Destroy this temple in Jerusalem, which took 46 years to build, and I will raise it again, you know, just in 3 days." He's talking about the resurrection, referring his own physical body as the temple of the Lord. Now, friends, the temple is a central place in the life of the Jewish people because it was in the temple where God's holy presence dwelt. His presence was not omnipresent. His holiness was reserved only within the confines of the holy temple in Jerusalem. And so people revere their place. It's where they went to meet with God, to worship God, to offer sacrifices to God, and it was a central place. And here is Jesus Christ claiming, you want to worship God? You want to offer up sacrifices to God? You want to be made right with God? You want to be blessed by God? Then come to the temple, the spiritual house. Now, this is the reason for which he is being referred as the living stone. So think of yourself as an architect. You are building this holy temple, okay? And you got to start with the living stone. Now, later in the passage, you may have noticed the phrase, the word, the cornerstone. Jesus is the living cornerstone. And when you're building a building, like a huge temple, the most important piece is, guess what? You got it. You're so smart. It's the cornerstone, because the cornerstone dictates the shape of the building, number one. So it's the first stone that you lay. Number two, the cornerstone has to be the strongest of all the stones, because everything else is being built upon it. It has to be strong, has to be stable, has to be secure. So it dictates the shape and the purpose of the building. It is the foundation, the anchor for the weight of the building. And third, it's the most precious. Literally, it was the most precious because it was so rare to find such a strong, stable, and perfect piece of stone. And that's Jesus Christ. And guess what you are? You are like living stones that are being laid on top of the living stone, one brick at a time, one brick at a time. Well, what's the application? You and I, and every person who utters the name of Jesus Christ in his lips and believes in her heart that God raised him from the dead, and that your sins are forgiven, and that he rose from the dead, and he's alive, and he's giving you life. For every one of you, Jesus says, you are a living stone, and you are being built upon me, the living stone, and all of you come together, and you are being built into a spiritual house. What's the implication, y'all? Do you see how intertwined you and I are? Do you see how interconnected we are? Literally. Use with the analogy and the metaphor. It's like without you, the house of God is missing a brick, maybe a big brick. Without me, the house may be incomplete. Jesus says, I am building you all into the spiritual house. And this is why I can never say to you, or can anyone say to anybody else, we don't need you, because we do. We are interconnected, intertwined. Elsewhere, the Bible talks about the body of Christ as a living thing, in actual body, right? But here, the analogy is just as strong. The bricks are so tightly fitted, you can't even put a single thin piece of paper through them. It's that intertwined, that interconnected. So therefore, we got to understand this. You all belong together. You all belong together because we have the same identity. And therefore, we need each other. And we are complete without the other. Do you recognize that? When was the last time you said to yourself, hey, the house of God is missing me because I'm not there. The temple of God is incomplete because so-and-so is not there. Oh, I better call him. I better reach out to him. When was the last time you felt that conviction? Let no one say, I don't need you. Let no one say, I can have this connection with the divine without having the connection with the humanity. It's just not possible. Well, it is possible, but then you will remain an infant. You will remain a babe, an immature, self-absorbed baby. And that's why you have not experienced this fullness of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, you know what he says? Jesus says, the fullness of Christ is indwelling. Guess where? He is in heaven, but right now we experience his fullness in the body of church, in the body of Christ. So would you have this conviction in your heart? Would you perhaps repent and confess of your sins for saying, I don't need others. All I need is Jesus, because Jesus would disagree with you. May the Lord rebuke you. May the Lord correct you. So therefore, would you be willing to say to Jesus, I see it. We all belong together because we all have the same identity. We are building bricks of yours. Number two, y'all belong together because y'all have the same destiny. We belong together. We have a sense of oneness. We're in one accord because we have one same destiny. And what is that? Verse 5. You all, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be what? To be what? To be holy priesthood. Did you catch that? Your destiny is to be, to become, to function as the holy priests of Jesus Christ. Let me take you to verse 5. But you all are a chosen people, plural. You all are a royal priesthood. You all are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you all may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What's your destiny? What's my destiny? The answer? For us to become a holy, royal priesthood. Now, 2,000 years ago, in the days of Jesus, every religion had a temple, had priests, and had sacrifices. Because everyone had this sense of the reality that there was the divine was holy, and they weren't, so they needed a mediator, priests, right? Furthermore, they needed to go to a temple, the holy place, a sacred environment. And third, they couldn't go empty-handed, they had to bring a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to atone for their sins. Okay? Now, according to many historians, the early Christianity was viewed as an occult by the Roman Empire. You know why? Because the Roman Empire saw, hey, wait a minute, every major religions had a temple, priests, and animal sacrifices. But these early Christians, they didn't have a temple, they didn't have priests, they didn't have animal sacrifices. So they asked, what's up with that? They said, we don't have a temple because Jesus Christ is our temple. We don't need a temple. We don't need a holy place because Jesus is the holy place. We don't need priests. We don't need anyone to go between God and us because Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes on our behalf. He does the priestly duties for us. We don't need animal sacrifices because Jesus is the Lamb of God, the ultimate animal sacrifice who takes away our sins forever. And that's why the early Christians looked so, so different and weird than anybody else. And here comes Peter saying to you and me and to the first audience of the letter, you are a royal priesthood. Priests. You are priests. So what's the job of the priest? Let me keep it simple. The priests, they were supposed to represent the needs and the concerns of the people to God. People couldn't go to God directly. They needed this mediator, and that was the priests. People that were set apart, set aside by unique role for unique purposes by God. So they were representing the needs, the concerns of the people. And that's why priests would offer animal sacrifices to atone the sins of the people. And now, the Apostle Peter is saying, you are priests, not any priest, royal, kingly priests, because you stand in the line of the King, Jesus Christ. Not only the King, the High Priest. So we are receiving that genealogy, the succession of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means we all belong together. Why? Because we have the same destiny. We serve one another. Would you priest me? I just made that a verb. Would you offer up prayers for me? Would you go to the Lord on my behalf? May I get to priest to you. May I take your concerns and your joys and your challenges and your obstacles and bring them all before the Lord as your royal priest. See, we do priestly duties, and not only to one another, but to those around us. Think about it. People who don't know Jesus, they cannot go to God on their own. They need somebody, and that somebody is Jesus, the high priest. But until they find Jesus, and until Jesus finds them, we represent the high priest, because who are we? We are the royal priesthood. So we belong together. You and I, we have the same destiny. And the job of the priest is, well, let me read the last part of verse 5. Offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. How do you offer spiritual sacrifices? You are a royal priest, right? So what does that look like, that you are offering a spiritual sacrifice? May I offer three ways? Number one, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I read, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your, what? Your what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spirit's true and proper worship. Okay? Now, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? Is that kind of an oxymoron? Because sacrifice is supposed to be killed and dead. But it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. What does that mean? Well, here's my take on it. Each day, every day, I come before the holy altar of God. And I offer my body, my being, my life today. And I say, Lord Jesus, let me die to my flesh, to my body, so that your life may live all the more. I think that's what it means. At least that's what it means in one aspect, that I offer my bodies as a living sacrifice. Oh Jesus, I want your life to rise up within me. I want your life, more of your life, more of your joy, more of your purpose, more of your peace. And therefore, I must die to myself. Deny myself. Die to myself every day. So that is a spiritual act of worship. However, I shouldn't just do that for myself. I'm a priest like you are. So therefore, we should do this with other people. For other people. Are we doing it? Am I doing it? Are you doing it? I have an accountability partner, and he and I meet once a month, and we bear rare. We bear it all, and then we hold ourselves accountable, and we go deeply in and really candid and transparent. And with each confession we make to each other, we are dying to ourselves. We are offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. I think he and I are doing priestly duties to each other. Another example is this. Hebrews 13, verse 15. We are continually to offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Praise to God. And this praise to God is a sacrificial offering. Whenever you offer up praise to glorify God for what He's doing in your life, as you wait upon Him, as you embrace His power and presence, and you are still waiting, perhaps, still waiting, and even so, you offer a praise. Praise. Sacrifice of praise to God, glorifying Him and giving Him thanks. That is a sacrificial act of worship. Now, again, it's not just you and I doing it. We are doing it for one another because we are priests. Find ways, look for ways to offer up sacrifice of praise to God on behalf of others. Lastly, quick, Hebrews 13, verse 16. This is about good works and possessions. Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. When you do good to others and share your possessions with others, God sees that as a sacrifice, that are sacrifices offered unto God, which God is pleased about. One more time. Not only do I do this, not only do you do it, we help others to do it because we are royal priests. So first, let the life of Christ rise up within you through community, right? Okay, because this sense of belonging, so you all belong together because we all have, share the same identity. You all belong together because we all share the same destiny. And lastly, y'all belong together because y'all have the same security. Write that word, security. Verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Underline that word, shame. If you build your life upon the cornerstone, the living stone of Jesus Christ, the promise is you will never be put to shame. You belong together because we all, you and I, we all share the same security. And that confidence is this: Jesus will never, 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 ever let us be put to shame because we put our trust in Him, the cornerstone. So what does that mean? What does it mean that I consider Christ to be the foundation of my house? I'm building a house, you're building a house, and Christ is the cornerstone, the living stone. What that means is everything else goes on top of Him. He is the first and foremost. He is the foundation. He is the rock. He is the solid, solid rock. And whenever I build my house on it, I build my marriage upon Jesus, living stone. I build the stone of raising children upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. I build my stone of finances. I lay my stone of my meaning and purpose in life. If everything is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, I will never be put to shame, as in, I will not fail. I will not falter. If you are a builder and you built your house in such a way, you used the wrong foundation and the whole building collapsed, you will be shamed. You will be put to shame. People will speak of you as a failure and no one will hire you anymore. But if you build your house as a good architect upon a good solid foundation, your house is solid. It's intact. It's beautiful, strong. You will never be put to shame. Here's what I see people doing so often. They build their house not upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, but upon something else. Okay? They may put relationship stone first, or they may put the career stone first, or they may put the finance stone first, or they may put beauty or accolades, self-identity stone first. Now, Jesus' stone is there in the house, it's just not on the bottom. It's there somewhere. It's not absent. But if that were the case, friends, my friends, remember this. Your house will not stand. You've experienced it, haven't you? You are in it right now, aren't you? Your house will stand tall and strong. You will never be put to shame if Jesus is the foundation. Again, friends, since we all belong together, we got to find ways to do this for each other. Encourage, support, and hold people accountable. And we're not doing that. And that's why we have so little power, so little joy of the life of Christ rising up within us. It is a gift, but we need to appropriate it. We need to apply it. So what do you say? We belong together. Let us serve one another as priests. Now, in closing, how do we do that during this pandemic era? It's really hard. It's really hard. You know, everything has been hard. Yes, yes. Church got it hard too, because church is about people and people is about relationships. And how can we continue build a relationship if we can't be together? So it's been hard. And yet, it can be done. As the recipients of 1 Peter, they were facing persecution. They were scattered. They were expelled, exiled, right? They were in isolation. They didn't have their loved ones or friends or their families. But they found ways. They found ways. They found new body of Christ, new house of worship, new spiritual house. Now, for us, let me offer just three things. If you are feeling safe, comfortable, and if you feel that others are being as responsible as you, you gotta consider in-person worship. Something happens when we gather together. When I sing alone to God, that's still good. I'm worshiping the Lord. But when I sing here in the presence of everyone together, there's a supernatural thing happening. I recognize I'm in the house of God, spiritually speaking. Not this building, but the people. And this is why when we come together, there's this supernatural thing happening. It's hard for me to explain it. I can only feel it, and I can only say it's happening at the moment, as it did this past Sunday. I felt it. We all felt it. So consider in-person gathering. Please do not make this just a convenience thing. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? Make it a conviction thing. See, you're saying, hey, Lord, thank you for the health. I feel safe. I'm healthy. I'm being responsible. And so is everyone. So I'm going to be there in person. Have that kind of attitude. Second, house churches. House churches gather safely via Zoom. You ought to consider that, because similar things happen in house churches. It happens every week for me. Here's my confession. After a long day, and house church is coming at 7:30, sometimes I go, oh Lord Jesus, can we call it off? Or what if nobody else shows? But then the Lord surprises me. I go in there tired. I go in there half-hearted. But then we experience the living stone of Jesus Christ in our singing, in our praying, in our opening of the Holy Scripture, and then we experience the living stones coming alive. And every time I say, honey, that was really good for me. I walked in there half-heartedly. I came out with a full heart, full heart. Last application, okay? Maybe you could find one-on-one kind of community. Not a big gathering, not house church, small group gathering. Maybe one-on-one. Maybe that's what the Lord has in store for you for such a time as this, because here is God's promise. The life of Christ is rising up within you through the power of community, because you belong together with God's people. Contact me and I can help you with it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, the living stone, we come to you. You give meaning to us. You shape us, living stones, literally and spiritually. We pray that you continually lay us on top of you, and may the cement that holds all the stones together become stronger, tighter, and more beautiful. To your glory, to your honor, we pray. Amen.